KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your host for Chatterbox.
We are your hosts for Chatterbox. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And I'm Colin.
And we do this show. ChatterboxGameshow.com is our website. Give us a call, 866-536-1100, if you're listening live and want to give us a chat.
Or join in the chat room at ChatterboxGameshow.com.
/, index. The button on the left PHP. That says
live chat room or yeah. Something like that.
Colin mans that thing. Did you meet my friend from the chat room? At my wedding?
I met your friend from the chat room.
I didn't, actually.
I know you did, because we talked about it last week.
Totally.
What's his handle on the chat room?
Megadeth.
I see him. He's on
Megadeth.
Here.
Megadeth. He's kind of always there. I'm sure he's got some bot running in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's like probably one of my oldest friends. Back from like first, second grade or something. Yeah.
Anyway. And a very loyal one.
You should get on.
Certainly, dude. He made scallion pancakes for my wedding and the day before my wedding. Or like not the wedding itself, but like the... what's that thing you do before the rehearsal dinner? And then also the day after the wedding is like, dude, we got more stuff. I can make some more. I'll come over. I was like, yeah.
If I didn't harbor great resentment for scallion, I would be very impressed.
Dude, you would have loved it. Because he's all like Chinese and he made Chinese food. And damn, I've never had anybody actually make me Chinese food in my house before.
Scallion.
It wasn't my house, but you know, the mansion. What do you guys think of that place? Was it awesome?
That was pretty cool. I'm still on the scallions, dude.
Oh, sorry.
What do you think scallions come from?
The ground?
Scalia.
They come from... They come from the nether regions of the devil, as far as I'm concerned.
No, they're very good. Anyway, for anyone who missed my wedding, you cannot really get any pictures or any information about it anywhere, except maybe a Facebook account somewhere. But it was awesome, so thanks for dealing without me, basically, for 2 weeks. 1.5.
It's a tough job, but someone had to do it.
Yeah, you guys handled the fort last week. So, got a few things to talk about this week. You handed me a neat controller, and we got this other article, and this other one we'll get to whenever you feel you'd like to. A couple things I wanted to talk about, and maybe we'll have a caller or two today as well.
Totally. And
where do you want to start?
Well, sometimes, as you know, we talk about what we've been playing lately. I actually bought a new game this week.
Lies.
Which, yes, and you will accuse me of lies because this is a very rare event that Ara goes out and buys a new game.
Colin doesn't know, by the way, that I finally played Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Oh, okay.
Not enough of it, though.
So, I have to qualify this, though, because it wasn't the game that just came out. But I did buy it new.
That's fine.
I felt great about this purchase.
Why? Because it cost $3?
Because it was almost $3. I got to buy it new, so that way I get to support the developer and they get some of my money.
None of that money went to the developer, buddy.
No, so some of it had to go to the developer.
It did originally, years ago. No, the fact that you bought it has not added any money to
his
pocket.
No, but it's new.
The suspense is killing me.
It's new versus a used game purchase. So,
missed.
So I was glad that
for
I could...
For PC CD-ROM.
Yeah. No, it was Muramasa for the Wii. Yes, the Demon Blade, which was a really cool game that I always wanted to buy but didn't want to spend money on. So,
what the hell is that? How is it that I've never heard that?
It's, you heard of Odin Sphere?
Yes.
Is it an
that
anime
game's
thing?
Awesome. I love Odin Sphere.
It's not an anime thing, but it's anime-style game, and it's made by Vanillaware, and so is Odin Sphere. Basically, this,
sounds very plain.
Yeah, this guy... Plain? Did I miss something? Yes. Yes. It's very ironic, actually.
What do you give it out of 10?
Because Vanillaware is... Oh, that's going to piss me off.
He doesn't...
We're not even 10 minutes into the show and you're pissing me off with what is it rate. Because he remembers what happened last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So I refuse... Actually, it's funny because like a game like Muramasa, I think maybe even more than other games, really just defies encapsulating into just like a number. Because it's funny. There's a couple weird things about it. Like, I just realized when you die in the game, there's almost zero penalty for dying.
You didn't realize that right away?
No, because it took me a while before I died.
Oh,
but
there you go.
Basically, when you die, it puts you back about maybe like right before the battle that killed you. and that's it. You don't seem to lose any money. You don't seem to lose any experience points. You don't lose any souls, resources. No souls that you have to go back and recapture. Nothing like that. It just puts you right back before the last battle that you made.
So, from what I understood, this game, it's the 2D Vanillaware kind of idea where they hand-drawn everything. But it's like a light action game. It's an action game with some light RPG elements to it? Or how would you describe it?
Okay, sure. That's a pretty good description. Yeah, I mean, it's a side-scrolling 2D fighting game. And there's experience points.
Yeah, I just didn't know what it was exactly.
And there's, like, items and... The really cool thing about what Vanillaware does, and I mean, I really think that there's only a handful of developers that do things like this. I mean, like Treasure's one of them, is that they seem to really, really understand what a player needs and wants from a game. And so they'll do these really, really nice, really subtle touches that are, well, obviously they're small if they're subtle, right? But they make, for somebody who's interested in long-term play, right? Like the true gamers, you could say. They're just totally awesome features. Like one thing they'll do is, you know, it's like undocumented, but you know, there's a display that says what level your character is, right? Well, it's behind this like diamond-shaped plate. It's in front of this diamond-shaped plate, and the plate like fills up in basically the edges fill up in a line, right? And that represents how your progress to the next level.
Yes.
Right? And it's like it's really, really cool. It's like it's this really efficient shape. It's in a diamond shape, so you know that you've got like, you know, 25% to go or 75%.
And when you
to
make
go.
It all the way, does it say welcome to the next level?
No, it doesn't say anything like that. But stuff like that, like another thing they do, which is really neat, very, very small detail, but also very, very appreciated by a gamer like myself, is they have this little number on the lower left corner of the screen, that's just like there's like a little item bag times and then a number, right? And this number is the number of items you've gotten that you haven't looked at yet in your inventory. Like, you get items all the time in this game. And sometimes in a battle, you'll get, like, a whole bunch of items, right? And so they actually have a device to tell you basically what you've gotten that you haven't looked at yet, right? And if you go into the menu screen, every single item that you haven't looked at yet will have, like, new flashing on it, right? Even if you already have that item, like if you get a new one of that item, right, then it'll still say new. And it's just a cool, cute little thing to have in there because you can more easily kind of obsess over your resource management because this game involves a lot of resource management. So these are all ancillary to the main point of the game, which is beautiful in and of itself. But yeah, little things like this, you don't see from a lot of developers.
You know, it's funny, actually, I got Puzzle Quest for the iPhone recently. Have you played a lot of Puzzle Quest, Colin?
I've heard about it. I've seen like the demos and reviews and stuff like that.
It's a game like a year or two ago, whenever it came out, everyone got really addicted to.
Professor Layton, right?
Rich used to play it a lot. Not Professor Layton at all.
Oh, okay. Wait. No. I'm thinking Puzzle Agent. That's what I just saw. That's what I was thinking of.
Sure. No,
sorry.
This is older. You know, Galactrix was the sequel. So it was like an RPGized version of Tetris Attack.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that one.
Right. So I've been playing that a lot lately, which bugs me a little bit because you end up doing the same thing just over and over and over and over. But one thing I realized was that it manages to give you all the information you need. And I took very conscious note of this. All the information you need to understand what's going on, because there's a lot more than just the puzzle elements. All right, I'm guessing you haven't played this.
I watched someone play it once.
Well, if you don't actually play it yourself, you probably don't have a good understanding for all the things that are going on. But beyond just the matching of orbs and, you know, coins and whatever.
I like to match orbs on a frequent basis.
Yeah. So
nightly sometimes.
You also have spells and you have, you know, your characteristic points, you know, like how much morale you have and how much cunning and battle and fire mastery and air mastery and all these things, right? But then you also have items that enhance you in some way, right? So if you use this item, then you've got 8 extra life points at the beginning. And if you use this item, you have better battle. And this other guy has a spell that he could use on you that will affect you in this way, like will give you more air orbs but fewer earth orbs and whatever, right? My point is that in this one screen that is filled mostly with the puzzle board, and then on the side there's tells you what spells you have, like you can also click this thing that tells you exactly like how many turns of disease you have upon you from the enemy's spell, and how many percentage points you have of like resistance to this spell. Actually, don't know if it gives that information, but like anytime I thought to myself, wow, I really wish I had this bit of information to help me understand how the enemy is attacking me, I click this thing and I'm like, oh wait, I totally have that information. I wish I understood how the enemy worked, and I go, oh, look over him, I can click on his too, and it shows me all of the information about him. Because it's also very confusing, because things happen so fast, you don't know, like, well, why did I just get an extra turn for free? Or why did this thing over here suddenly turn into a skull when a second ago it was a gem, right? And you look and realize that actually all the information you need is presented to you on this in one screen, or, you know, you tap something and you get an extra bit of info. And I was just very surprised, especially on the iPhone where you've got such small real estate. And managed to give me everything I needed without more than a single click.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like to say that in general. I think that I tend to prefer games that give you more information rather than hiding information from you.
See, I'm not so opposed to the times where like they eliminate HUD. You know, in Dead Space, where the energy meter's on the guy's back or something, right?
It depends on the context, right? I mean.
But in a puzzle game's an example of a time when you need to have all that info, right? Even though it's turn-based and I could go to some menu screen to look at, you know, how this works and how that works and why I'm enhanced this way or that way, it's still helpful to be able to very quickly get access to that information. So I'm with you. I want the information, but it depends. The type of game it is, I might not care to have volumes of info.
Right. Well, certainly it depends on the type of game. And the irony of this is that... Whether you choose to display such information or not in the first place as a design decision tends to change the kind of game it ends up being.
You think so?
Well, yeah. I mean, kind of by definition, it does.
But don't you think that the decision to display the information would come secondary to the gameplay?
It,
or are you just telling me in practice it doesn't?
Well, yeah, it should. But sometimes it doesn't.
Okay.
Well, to take like Demon's Souls for example, like you don't have all of them. You don't have a map in that game, do you? Really? You kind of make it as you go, and you get the information from like people dying in front of you or all that nonsense. Correct?
Yeah. Like a map's not really a great example in that game because there's nothing too like labyrinthine about any of the levels. They're pretty straightforward.
Okay.
And plus, since you're constantly dying and having to retread through the level to find your body again, you learn the level map pretty quickly.
Because you die all the time, Colin. You see? You're dead.
See, life is a cycle.
In fact, when you die, you are already dead in that game. That is what's so hilarious about it. Because you can't be alive unless you get back to your body. And then you do something to somehow become alive again, right? Like, don't you have to go kill somebody else?
Yeah, did I tell you guys that I finally stopped playing that game?
No, I didn't think it was possible.
Yeah, I didn't either. But I got to a point where it was just one of those, like, epiphanies where you realize that what you've been doing for the past 5 years has been completely useless.
Well, I mean, that's true of all video games, don't you think?
Yeah, but sometimes it hits more abruptly than others.
So you didn't even finish it? Because you're like, I want to finish
the
game.
No, I finished it. I wanted to finish it twice, and I stopped halfway through the second one.
Oh, okay. Finishing it twice is not in my vocabulary. All right, we'll be right back, folks.
Arizona's News Talk Leader. KFNX, AM 1100.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Not only are we're back
in
with
black.
Flair.
And with flair.
In black?
Sure.
None of us are wearing black. I'm very patriotic today wearing my Hawaiian shirt. People kept making fun of my Hawaiian shirt today at work and at home and pretty much everywhere.
It's pretty pornographic if you think about it.
No, I said, listen, how many shirts can you imagine that to you, simply by their design, say to you, I am a state? Like, how do they relay to you the message that they are specifically relating to a state in our union? Like, maybe you could have a Confederate flag, which isn't a particular state, a group of states, the same idea.
Yeah.
Right? You could have an American flag shirt.
Totally can.
Or you can have a Hawaiian shirt.
So you could have you could have a Texas shirt. You can have a Lone
thinking,
Star shirt.
I was thinking Texas
earlier
today, but then I went Confederate instead.
Yeah.
So anyway, I said, this is my patriotic shirt because this is America's week, and this shirt represents America, specifically what I believe is its 50th state. The most recent?
Yes.
Well, you never know. Is it Alaska or Hawaii, right? But I did a report on Alaska when I was a youngster, and I think it was 49. See, Norm says Hawaii.
Okay, so Hawaii is the 50th state. Alaska came before 49. Hawaii.
Yeah, and it was 49th, right?
Yeah, he says it like everyone knows.
Yeah, well, of course, certainly. Certainly. Norm's one of those guys who remembers everything he learned in grade school.
That's right.
Not me.
Norm's one of those guys who attended grade school.
In fifth grade, I can tell you every state and every capital of every state and find them all on the map. And now, if you ask me where Alabama was, I honestly would not know.
Yeah. Well, I'm just appalled that you're wearing a shirt that's littered with sex organs.
It's a beautiful shirt. So... anyway, I would try to be very patriotic today by wearing my Hawaiian shirt. Nobody understands.
But that's all American.
Nobody
too.
Understands my art.
Right.
So, if you were listening to the commercial because you're a live listener, then you heard the commercial that our podcasters don't hear. And that commercial is for the University of Advancing Technology. They have a website, uat.edu, that you can listen to you can visit. You can listen to me telling you to visit uat.edu, which is where you learn about the programs that the University of Advanced Technology has to offer you. You, dear listener, who can go to school and become a game designer like Ara. Not that he went to school for it, but, you know, he does it.
I went to school for ancillary purposes.
Yeah.
Actually, I went to school for far more painful reasons.
What did you get a degree in? Computer science?
Computer science.
Partying.
Yeah. Yeah, we've asked you that several times.
Yeah. No, it's not partying, actually. I routinely enjoy telling people about how I wasted my entire college career by spending it studying.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Bad idea.
Totally bad idea.
I sought partying and never did.
Yeah.
No. I also didn't spend it studying, though. I just somehow...
Played video games?
A little bit. A lot. That was the days of, like, the... Do you guys... Have you ever heard of Bung? Bung Enterprises? You haven't, because you're too young.
Bung?
Bung! Yeah, the Dr. 64.
Oh, yeah!
Right? I was all over that in college. You know, I don't like to talk about...
Yeah,
I had stuff like that on the radio. That was years ago. Yeah, I was a youngster.
I had a little doohickey for my Nintendo 64, and it was the famous Super Xian Feng.
I'm not familiar with that.
I don't know. And I'm not either, but I had one. It said Super Xian Feng on it. It had this little dragon or something.
I don't know what that is.
Tiger or
something. I was pretty familiar with all of the different things you could get.
Yeah, it's a disc, you know, it's a disc drive.
Yeah.
But Super Nintendo.
Yeah. Oh, you said Nintendo 64. Super Nintendo.
No, Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. No, then I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Not that I ever had one.
By the time the N64 came out, I had already purchased the 3 games worth playing on that.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot more you could play. I knew that.
You guys are old.
That was a long time ago. Dude, there's so much going on in the world. Anyway.
Maybe 4 games.
So we got Joe on the line. Do we want to take Joe now?
Sure,
Joe.
Why not?
All right, Joe.
Joe, I hear Joe's really pissed off. Is that true?
I am a little bit.
A little bit? Joe, have you ever gotten really pissed off?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
Is it because I missed last week's show?
You know, I was a little bummed out, but I knew you had things you had to do, get married.
Do you guys have any idea? No, last week wasn't because of the wedding. It was because I was at a work thing. I went out to dinner with people from work. And I was like, it should have been done. It was a 4-hour dinner. Let me ask you, how many courses did I have in that dinner, Joe? You have no idea. Just guess. How many courses did I have?
4.
22!
No way.
22 goddamn courses.
Now, wait. You told me 23.
Meal.
I mean, like...
It was a 23-course meal.
Did they forget 8th dessert or something?
No, no, no. I chose the one fewer course because I knew that I did not want the cheese course.
So there was a cheese course,
you turned it down.
Yes.
What are you thinking?
The 5 people with me had 23 courses.
Wait a minute.
I had 22.
Out of 23 options, one of them is cheese?
Yes. One of them is specifically cheese. So when you order on the menu, you order the 4, 5, or 6 course meal. But what you don't know is that in between all of the courses that you actually ordered, they just bring you other crap. So, like, I had a sloppy Joe. This sloppy Joe, literally the size of the tip of my thumb. I have a picture of it. Have I not shown you the picture of this?
No, I need to see this picture later.
I had a baked potato, which was the size of a grape. It had cheese, sour cream, and bacon on it. The cheese was a literal single shred of cheese. Like, you know when you shred cheese, you put it on Taco Bell, right?
Yeah, that's one
shred of cheese with one little, like, bacon bit of bacon.
delicious.
Did you trick you not? Were you sitting next to a table of like midgets that were 2 feet tall?
No, but I asked her about these potatoes. I was like, so like, how do you get these potatoes? Like, I can't imagine these are easy. And she's like, okay, so we went to this farm because all our stuff is organic or whatever. It's this organic place.
All our stuff is organic, yeah. So it's extra small.
Right? I was like, Alice in Wonderland organic? So, they went to the potato place, and they're pulling all these potatoes out, and all these little tiny ones, like, dangle and fall to the ground. They say, well, what do you do with those? Oh, we just throw those away. Those are useless. Right? Well, we want those. So they go to this place that just nice. Gets rid of all these tiny, teeny, little, pinky-sized potatoes, and they get them all from this place. It's somewhere local, I think. Local-ish. And little baby tiny.
Now the only thing that I'm curious about is if they have like cute little ovens to cook the cute little potatoes in.
No. I don't know. I honestly perhaps.
So Joe, what you calling about here?
Joe, 22 courses. That's what I want you to think about. That's why I was gone last week. I'm so sorry,
Jeez,
listeners.
Anna Rice.
Man,
I'm
crazy.
A little ticked off at EA.
EA?
Yup, for two things.
Okay.
This is one of them relate to Swagger.
But
Swagger.
That?
No.
First thing
Swagger doesn't piss him off. All right.
Is okay. There's an achievement, if you can call it that, in FIFA 10 that you get for quitting games.
What?
Online, you actually get an achievement.
I don't believe you.
Quitting. I'm totally serious.
I don't believe you.
Okay. What is it called exactly? Like, do you know what off the top of your head what the achievement is exactly?
I don't know what it is off the top of my head. I could find it and send you a link or something.
Okay, no. Oh, we will be looking this up immediately.
I am feverishly looking for this. This is it. Was this FIFA 10?
Yeah. List achievements for games.
Hey, GameFAQs has good documentation.
Did you say this is FIFA 10?
FIFA 10 has an achievement for quitting games. Quitting five.
We're putting you on the spot here. We're going to verify. As you speak, we're going to verify this claim.
Okay.
But it's funny. It's funny that you're bringing this up, Joe. Actually,
it's worth zero points, though.
What?
It's worth zero gamer score.
You still get credit for an achievement. You can call it that.
For
but
zero.
But it's 0 points?
It's a negative achievement. It's a bad one. They had these in Command & Conquer, too.
So wait, so what? If you quit one game, you get it? Or like, how many do you have to quit?
Five.
Okay.
I've quit out of at least 5 ranked matches while losing. Shameful is what it's called. 0 points.
Okay, so why does that piss you off? This sounds like a good idea to me.
See, I don't think it is. It's because for people who are like, oh my god, I want to get every single achievement, and they just look at it not based on points, but just on number of achievements, I still think it encourages...
Yeah, no. See, I understand what you're saying.
So,
I do.
Yeah, I understand what he's saying too, but I disagree with him.
However, I think it was what they're doing, and I wish I could come up with a good analogy for this right now. I'm not finding it. People jury-rig systems that they have little control over all the time for their own needs, right? We're moving these mics around like crazy. So they make systems work for themselves. So what EA did was they found a way to basically put a badge of dishonor on a user without enhancing them in any way. Now, I understand your point is that people want to get every achievement, but also people might look at it and say they want to get all, you know, the points for the achievements, the full 1,000 points, and it'll be okay mm-hmm. to not get this one negative achievement. And perhaps... this will lead to a change in the achievement system, and Microsoft will have achievements and just badges where it's common to have a badge you don't want, or perhaps they'll have a negative badge where you want to have as few as possible, and you can see someone's like shame rank.
Yeah. Now, Joe, do you really think that there's like a substantial amount of people who are quitting everywhere just to get this one?
It's possible. I don't know. I think it's kind of lame.
But what if you could use it to figure out who's a quitter and who's not, right?
But it's a secret achievement, so they can't see it unless they both have the achievement together.
This is not a secret achievement.
It says it is. On FIFA 2010?
All right. We'll be back, guys.
No, below that.
In a minute.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one.
So it turns out I was looking at FIFA 10 World Cup, and little Colin over there was just looking at FIFA 10. And that's where the discrepancy came into play. One of them has, at least according to Xbox360achievements.org, one of them has Bad Loser, which is a secret achievement, and one of them has Shameful, which is not a secret achievement. And like Ara was saying, it would defeat the purpose if you make it a secret achievement. Everyone should know that you have this badge of shame.
Yeah.
So it's called Shameful.
Right. I would question if you have to actually get that achievement to see if other people have it, because that would make no sense. But you know what? Crazier things have happened in the world of video games, so who knows?
But, it, I mean, it should go beyond that and say, if you have this badge, it shows up in the lobby,
yeah,
and all that stuff.
Totally.
And it should also go away after a certain amount of time. It's like, if you've had 5 disconnects within the last, you know, X days or hours or something, so that basically you could reform yourself.
Well, you know what the cooler things, one of the cooler things is that I've seen on online play is, let's see, I think it was Dirt 2, basically had this aggressiveness rating where it would basically give you a emblem that was either red or green or yellow, and everyone could see it right before the race. And if it's yellow, that's like average, right? Like, this guy does a moderate amount of smashing into people. If it's green, that means that this guy's really, really good at avoiding people and you're not going to get trouble from him. If it's red, you pretty much know that this guy's going to try and ram everyone they can see.
Or is just really bad and hits people.
Right. So that was just like super incredible to have that that kind of information before a race actually starts.
That's good. But then I wonder if that's sort of like cheating, that you know this person's personality.
No, I don't think it's like cheating. I think that based on my playing, it seemed like it was something that basically sampled the last, like, say, N games, right? So it basically means it's kind of like the like the miles per gallon gauge on your car sometimes. Like, it's not like the total history, right? It's like the history of the last few ones, right? So it's how has this guy been behaving recently? You know, has he been an ass, mm-hmm, or is he a nice guy?
Speaking of asses, somehow we hung up on Joe. He had more to say, and he is no longer on the line.
I believe he did have more to say.
So, Joe, you should call us back, because I hate the idea that we left you hanging there.
Yeah.
Just because a commercial break happened. So,
yeah.
Yeah, anyway, come back on. Now, until he does call back, again, we've got all these articles to talk about. I kind of wanted I wanted us to sit here and speculate on the possible future of gaming, specifically console gaming, because that's all I care about. Because I was thinking about on the way here tonight, there's the DS or the 3DS that's coming out, right? And all these motion-based things that are coming out now. So they're trying to like stave off the next generation of consoles, which typically would have happened right about now. Which is weird, by the way. Time has flown by.
Yeah,
do you feel that way too?
Yeah, it's funny because, wow,
it's been 5 years.
It's been a while, but yet it doesn't seem like it has, right? Like, the 360 just totally seems new to me, even though it's been around for a while.
Yeah. I just got a new one, that black one.
Yeah. And the other, you know, the other funny part is that with each successive generation, I'm left wanting new technology less and less. And I think that that's normal.
So, do you remember that PS9 commercial when the PS2
breaks open the thing and it goes in his eye and
he
imagines it all?
It's like the thought machine, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, where do you think gaming will go now? You'll remember, Ara, that I used to talk about physics-based gaming being the next big thing.
Yeah, and I engaged with you in long, laborious arguments about how and why purely physics-based video game is a terrible
I still take claim. Like
And I know you do, but I'm sorry to say that you're wrong.
Clearly, there will always be room with many games for many games that aren't. And I never said it would be Earth-like physics or true physics, just that there would be physics.
And neither did I.
That control the world.
But let's, I'm not gonna.
All right. Anyway,
drag you into that.
I hold my
again.
Ground with that. I don't think it's going to be the only thing that exists, but I think it's a big thing moving forward. But I think now, like, okay, so Nintendo found a way to actually add 3D to a consumer device that won't be terribly expensive. And Microsoft and Sony are jumping on this motion bandwagon. Like, what could possibly be next? It used to be. Like, did you ever get the chance to play virtual reality games, Ara?
What, like the Activator?
No, like you put the helmet on and you turn around and
like
you see the world. Beachhead, kinda.
No, you know what? Like I've never.
I'm talking about the ones like in the early 90s when you were exposed to these things on TV and you're like, oh my god, that's real. And then you, like at some mall, they're testing it out and you got to play
with it. Yeah, and you had to like sit in like this pedestal with like a guardrail all around you, and you had that really large headgear on and this little joystick that's attached with a cord to it.
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly. Which is basically just a trigger.
Yeah. Totally saw it. Totally never played it.
So I have played it.
Yeah.
Not much. Like
Dactyl Attack or whatever that game was
called.
I
played the Pterodactyl one one time, I think. I played at an arcade in Indianapolis. They actually had it on site. A MechWarrior game.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was technically MechWarrior. I actually think it was MechWarrior 3.
I have played a MechWarrior game. Wow. This was like the first trade show I ever went to, CES, like summer 94 in Chicago. They actually had like a BattleTech center there where you could play. They had a MechWarrior.
Here's what's crazy to me. Like that was so ahead of its time, I thought. And what sucks is it kind of like the Nintendo Virtual Boy. It was such a great idea that it was
gone
just too soon.
Totally gone now.
Yeah, and if they had waited, you know, 10 years, then it would have been perfect. Like now, you could totally do that, and people have head tracking for PC, and no one uses it.
Yeah, well, the irony.
I would love that.
The irony out of all of this is that a head tracking peripheral was actually released for the PlayStation 2 in Japan.
Really?
Yep.
I know that there are third party ones that have come out.
Yeah. No, there was.
There was an official one?
There was an official one. I don't know if it was actually built by Sony or by a third party or not. But in any case, there was one game, that was made for it. Which it was called like Energy Air Force or something like that. It was a flight simulator game.
Dude, I know a lot about stuff that happens over there for the PlayStation 2, and I never knew about that.
Totally. The only problem was it was like $500 or something outrageous like that. And so it's not surprising that almost nobody bought it.
So, Colin, you're a young lad. Or last, depending who you talk to in this room. I can tell you that this would have been great. I would love to have some head tracking, and I'd love to have like four of us in a room, all with the head tracking things, and we're turning around and we're shooting each other. There's this new game coming out in a couple weeks. Have you seen this Monday Night Combat for Xbox Live? I only learned about it today. The whole summer of Xbox is happening, and it's going to come out, I think, on the 28th of July. And I looked at that game, and I was like, hey, that looks like it might not suck. It's like
Team Fortress 2 meets The Grid.
Yeah, it reminded me of The Grid, which is what you and I were playing at the arcade just a few weeks ago for Birch's wedding. I love The Grid, and to play that six-player and Xbox Live, like it could potentially be a lot of fun, and apparently the people at Joystick Anyway were rating it to not suck. So I'm excited about that. But imagine a game like that with the head tracking.
Head tracking is hot stuff. I suppose that it's just not cost efficient.
Didn't the Kinect have some head tracking with that racing game? I thought that was one of their promo things. Like you could turn your head and you could see it.
When we say head tracking, we're talking about you put on the helmet, you turn your head, and like the whole world turns instead of you turning the mouse.
So you want like a whole headset piece going
on. Yeah, so you can turn around and you see what's behind you,
right?
But it's now in front of you because you turned around.
Which is very different dynamic than even if Kinect can detect your head turning.
And I went a stage beyond this. 2 years ago at PAX, I think it was 2 years ago, maybe three, some people building it basically for military simulation or something, or that's how they think they could sell it. You are inside a very, very large sphere. Like you physically step inside a large sphere. And the point of the large sphere is that you can walk in any direction. It has to be large in order to come to some approximation of flat ground underneath you.
You're totally blowing my mind right now.
Have you never seen this?
No, but I'm constructing it in my
imagine
mind.
Imagine a giant steel grid, like a sphere, and it's on a base.
Yeah,
so
no,
that
this
you
is
can,
what I'm thinking
you walk
of.
Forward up the sphere, and the sphere rolls downward, so you can just walk infinitely forward, or you can turn and walk to the left.
Yeah, as long
or
as
backwards
you just
or whatever.
Don't go faster than the sphere, then you can go
and
anywhere you want.
And inside of it got some head tracking and a controller, which obviously had to be battery-powered or something. And I got to try that. And it was the software that went along with it was pretty primitive. It was just sort of walking around and shooting at things.
Yeah.
But awesome. The sphere actually made it really tough because, you know, it didn't move as quickly as my legs would move because it's a big, giant contraption. And it felt like one of those slow treadmills, you know, that's not powered, that just moves with your weight.
Well, for it to
never
be really,
for me because I don't weigh anything.
Really convincing, you'd have to be responsive and also at least as fast as you.
Yeah, and that didn't happen. But it was still a really interesting idea. The head tracking, though, like, it's perfect technology. It works. It it can work right now. No problem. It moves as fast as your head. It's great. It doesn't have to have lag. Years ago, it was laggy in like the Dactyl thing that we were talking about from the mid-90s or whatever.
I could see something like the Virtual Boy taking off, or just a pair of glasses you put on, and then you could see everything around you, and you have some kind of connect like object to control the world.
Yeah,
like,
Virtual Boy tried to be 3D. This doesn't try to be 3D, although it could also be 3D.
Yeah.
The point is that it gives you this level of, I'm going to use the word immersion, gives this level of immersion that is just awesome. And
as much as
time,
I hate that word, I agree.
Yeah. From time to time, I've used various head tracking devices that some new company's always making one every year, and you see it at CES, and then you never see it on retail shelves. But obviously, in order for it to work, it would have to be picked up by all the companies, you know, to build whatever driver you need into their game or something.
Yeah.
Although, I guess 3D games could just be built into the scrolling of a mouse.
Yeah, I don't know. You just made me think about how sad the arcade industry has destroyed itself over the past several years.
Why?
Well, all these technologies, they were around with even more force than they are today.
Oh, yeah. Very
sad. Like Afterburner.
So let's come back from the break and talk about where things are going. We'll be right back.
Welcome back once again. You're here for the last segment of Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Don't forget to go to our website, chatterboxgameshow.com. Give us a call, 866-536-1100. And if you want to learn about UAT, go to uat.edu to find out about the programs they offer. Yay, University of Advanced Technology. Thank
fast,
you.
Very fast.
So I was saying I wanted to talk amidst all of these articles we have on the table. I want to talk about our sage wisdom.
Yeah, that's fine.
What is
fine.
The potential future of gaming? So,
well, I just want to point out something to you guys as an example. And I guess this is an example of the funny ways that things develop over time or don't develop over time, right? You guys remember when Afterburner came out in the arcade?
Yes, the one that had like the full 360 motion and the upside down craziness.
It wasn't 360. It was actually it moved on,
it was
like
just on one axis?
On a cradle like track.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought they had two versions, one that was full motion and then one that was just in the cradle track that could take upside down.
Yes, they did.
They did have two?
I'm pretty sure that they had, at least at one point, they had a scaled down version, right? It's like the cheaper one for arcade operators versus the original one.
I'll go to clav.net and find out.
But there's that, right? And now Afterburner Climax came out. Right?
Yes.
And, I mean, I don't know this for sure, but I've only seen basically a stand-up version of the game in the arcade.
Super lame.
They actually have... Yeah, it is super lame. I mean, back in the day, I mean, we had, like, Galaxy Force 2.
Dude, Afterburner Climax is from 2006, according to Clav.
Really?
Which is the killer list of video games?
Yes. .com? Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe it is that old after all. But there's that, right? I mean, we had a 360 version of G-Lock. You know, Sega had this incredible hardware called the R360, which was basically like this like double axis thing that you went inside, and it could rotate you about all 360 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
All of these beautiful contraptions for arcade games that if you go to the arcade now, it's like nobody's been able to make enough money on the arcade business to really support like that level of expensive game. And so we get these, you know, we just get all this lame stuff, basically.
Yeah,
you know,
well.
It's the arcade has degenerated over time instead of developed. It's really sad.
Well, the thing is, you go to some like Sega Gameworks and they've built these other machines that are just way over the top, like ones that involve 10 people and you sit in a chair that goes up 20 feet and you're shooting hot air balloons and stuff.
So, right.
Like they've gotten bigger and they've gotten smaller, that there's a smaller number of much physically larger games.
Yeah.
And also tastes have changed. Like flight simulators just aren't the thing anymore. And now they just want to do like first person shooters, but that doesn't translate well to an arcade environment.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Although I love it in the grid by Midway.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that has something to do with it, but I don't know. You know what? Call me crazy, but
crazy.
Whenever somebody asks me about like what's going to be the future, I think that what it really is that careful and measured and I don't know what else word to use, but I really think that design of games is going to become more important. And it sounds like a really lame cop-out answer, but I'll need to delve into a little more specificity to tell you what I mean.
Well, see, I would probably claim that, I mean, you're always going to have the gamut of well-designed games and,
yeah, so
and fully designed games
so
that just appeal to the lowest
common
denominator.
Let me be specific. I think that as the industry develops and continues to develop, I think people are the general gaming population, and in other words, the population of people who buy games, I think are going to become more discerning and more savvy over time. And I think that the blockbuster game that looks flippin' awesome and is just totally mediocre otherwise and sells anyway, I think that that will gradually become less and less prominent. And I think that just in general, I think that developers, in a very, very gradual way, are not going to be able to get away with basically tricking consumers with things that look really awesome, but after you play over a period of time, you find out it's really lame.
So this leads me into the part of this question where we talk about where it's going to go, right? So obviously the power is going to be enhanced, right? You can handle more shading and more polygons.
Yeah, well,
and more
here's the funny thing,
stuff.
Right? Like what I said last segment. Do you really want more powerful graphics, however you describe it, better graphics from your games?
Well, to be honest, yeah, I would. But at the same time, most of my time right now is spent playing Puzzle Quest on an iPhone, which could be run off of a Super Nintendo.
Right. So maybe the way I phrased the question wasn't the best way to phrase it, right? But in actuality, right, it's like when we were in the NES days, right, like you couldn't wait for the graphics to get better.
Right? Yeah, lacking a bit.
Yeah, but now it's like I'm hardly ever thinking, man, if only the graphics were better.
Is that because of your personal taste, you think, or is that because of the industry's reached a level where it's like it can pass now, that it's like you can get the cartoony style graphics?
Probably both. I think that the industry has really truly now reached the point, although I don't think anyone could really identify the threshold, where games now, like your evaluation of a game is subjective on a level that's equal to that of music, let's say. In other words, it's not the question of a quality of the objective quality of execution as much as it is now a question of the subjective evaluation of the experience.
There's this dream from anyone developing for a console or for PC or anywhere, I guess. The dream is that if only I had more, RAM or more processing power,
more
whatever.
GBs.
Yeah, more GBs. Then if you don't get that joke, you should just go figure it out. So, like, they want that more power to do something they couldn't do. That was very prevalent in the older days of NES and Super Nintendo and that stuff, where there were serious limitations. You know, like how large the the sprite could be on the screen.
Right, right.
And how small and perfect the collision box can be and how many you can have and all that stuff and how many different things can be moving on the screen on one line at a time and whatever, right? But those limitations are gone. We're to the point that now it's essentially creativity that affects your game and not power, although there are some instances when power does limit your level design and stuff.
I would say that the limitation now is neither creativity nor technical limitation, but it's the limitation of time and resource. See, we can do all kinds of insane things now that we couldn't even imagine we could do with video games 10 years ago. But all of these things now, all these insane things that we can come up with in our heads, at least conceptually, they're most limited by the resources and manpower and just sheer ability to execute. You could make a game and spend 10 years doing it, right? And you could probably do some certain things in that game that no one has ever done before. But it took you 10 years. I mean, I don't know. Look at Gran Turismo, right?
Yeah.
It's been taking them like 5 years. It's just a matter of time. You got to figure out what you're going to do in a decent amount of time, which is, one, two, three. If you're real hotshot, maybe you can spend four or five,
Well, then I think about Rage, which is all the rage at E3, supposedly. And that's going to be on the consoles. But as I understand it, there's going to be some limitations to the Xbox versions or something, the size of the levels, or maybe I'm thinking of something else because Rage's whole point is that it has no limitations.
Yeah, the interesting thing about that idea, right, is that, you know, efficiency is another concern too, right? Isn't it interesting that a game that, you know, came out on Neo Geo, right, that was like, I don't know, like 128 megabit cartridge, okay, or like 200 megabits or something, right? Some of those games were translated and put on Super Nintendo, right? And they fit into like what, like a, I don't know, like an 8 or 16 megabit cartridge or something like that, right? And okay, Super Nintendo or N64 or whatever, like not exactly the same power. Like you're not pushing the same amount of data across, right? But it's really, really close. And the funny thing about what happens to development when you have more resources is that you tend, and this is almost universal, you tend to take up all the resources you have whether you need them or not.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're a goldfish throughout your whole life, right?
Yeah.
You're going to use whatever you have, and you're only going to be forced to trim down when you absolutely need to, right?
Exactly.
So why figure out the best, most efficient way to do it when you don't have to worry about
it? Right. And the funny thing is right now, it's like, yeah, the most efficient way to do something is now to sometimes do it in a technically inefficient way because you can do it in less time, right? So if it makes your data three times bigger, but you can do it in 2 weeks as opposed to 3 months, then in another way, it's actually more efficient.
Yeah. And speaking of efficiency, we managed to waste all this time without actually discussing what I wanted to get to.
Well, I think I addressed your question.
A little bit. But
we didn't cover tablets. We didn't cover indie games. We didn't cover mobile gaming. We missed a lot of
stuff. So, there's so many ideas for where gaming could be going. Not necessarily just in the power of these machines, but just conceptually.
The cultural aspect of it all.
There's that. You know, like the Nintendo's going 3D, so that's a gimmick. Gimmicky, kind of like they did with the Wii with the motion controls, but that actually worked and caught on. And, you know, what else could we be doing, right? Will I be pedaling a car, you know, in my living room, whatever? How many cars do you pedal? I don't know. Only Flintstones cars. Anyway, end of the show. We'll be back next week. Hope you enjoyed it. I just put up last week's show tonight. So if you're listening to this episode, you probably missed the previous episode because you got the newest one and not the one before that. So go check everything that's on the list.
Good night, guys.
Bye.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.